All right, strap in everyone, because today we are diving headfirst into a Supreme Court case that really gets you thinking about the Fourth Amendment. Kentucky v. King.
Yeah.
Warrantless searches.
Uh-huh.
The knock and announce rule, and a whole lot of legal gray area. Ready to unpack this one?
Absolutely. This case is really a prime example of those situations, you know, where police action and individual rights kind of run into each other. Forces us to ask some tough questions about how far law enforcement can go, even when they think a crime's happening, you know, to get that evidence.
And what's interesting here is that the whole thing comes down to what happens after the police knock and announce. Mm-hmm. Not even whether they should knock and announce, but like what happens if their actions just by chance lead to, you know, evidence being destroyed.
Exactly. Yeah. It explores whether police can use that potential destruction of evidence as justification to go in without a warrant, even if it was them knocking and announcing that might have caused it. A real head scratcher.
It is. So let's set the scene. We're in Lexington, Kentucky, where an undercover officer is watching a controlled buy go down, sees the suspect take off, running towards an apartment building, and radios for backup to, you know, cut him off.
Backup arrives just as a door slams shut. They aren't sure which apartment the suspect went into, but there's a strong smell of marijuana coming from one of the units. So put yourself in the officer's shoes for a second. You got a fleeing suspect, a strong odor of, you know, illegal activity, and the very real chance that evidence is about to vanish. What do you do?
Well, they do what we always see in the movies and TV, right? Knock on the door.
Yeah.
Loudly. Announce their police.
Yeah.
And then they hear it. Sounds of movement inside.
To them, it sounds like someone scrambling into hype drugs, right?
Right.
So they shout that they're coming in and bust down the door. Inside, they find Hollis King and a couple other people. And of course, drugs and paraphernalia just sitting out in the open. A more thorough search turns up even more.
And that is where the legal battle begins. First stop, Fayette County Circuit Court. The circuit court sides with the police, ruling that the officers had a good reason to investigate that marijuana smell, that the warrantless entry was justified because of that threat, you know, of evidence being destroyed. Mm-hmm. King, who was facing some pretty serious drug charges, enters a conditional guilty plea, but decides to appeal the search.
Smart. So then it goes to the Kentucky Court of Appeals.
Yep.
They uphold the lower court's decision, citing exigent circumstances, you know, a legal exception to that warrant requirement. But then,
plot twist,
the Kentucky Supreme Court takes a totally different stance. They say, okay, the police probably had enough to get a warrant.
Right.
But they didn't. Mm. And because of that, they ruled that the police basically created the very emergency that let them break in without one.
So this is where we get that idea of police created exigency.
Exactly. Normally, you need a warrant to enter and search someone's home.
Right.
But exigent circumstances, like if someone's life is in danger or, like in this case, you know, evidence is about to be destroyed, that can be an exception.
But the Kentucky Supreme Court argued that exception shouldn't apply if the police are the ones who created the emergency.
Right.
Their view was that it was the officers knocking and announcing that made the people inside try to hide the evidence. It forced their hand.
Yeah, and that is what took this whole thing to the highest court in the land.
The Supreme Court.
Yep.
Had to decide whether this police-created exigency thing was even valid.
Huge implications.
Did they side with the police? Or with, you know, the right to privacy?
Well, that's where things get even more interesting. The Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, actually sided with the police. Justice Alito, he wrote the majority opinion. And he had a very specific way of looking at how the Fourth Amendment applies in these kinds of situations.
Okay, so let's break down that majority opinion a little bit. What was Justice Alito's logic?
His main point was that the officers were acting lawfully before the exigency even came up.
Okay.
He's saying the knock and announce was totally legal, didn't break the Fourth Amendment. They weren't like threatening to barge in or anything. So the warrantless entry afterwards, that was justified because of what happened after the knock.
But what about the Kentucky Supreme Court's argument that the police basically made the emergency happen just by knocking? Did Justice Alito, did he address that?
Oh, he did. And he shot it down. He argued that the Fourth Amendment is all about the objective reasonableness of what the police do, not their intentions. So it doesn't matter if the police could have guessed that knocking would lead to evidence being destroyed. It's about whether they were doing something illegal at the time.
Okay, so if the police are following the rules, they shouldn't be punished if someone inside decides to break the law,
right? Exactly.
Makes sense.
And to drive that point home, the majority opinion specifically said they wouldn't use a bad faith test in cases like this. Even if the police knocked and announced hoping to hear something incriminating so they could get in, that wouldn't automatically make the search invalid.
So it really all boils down to whether the police were acting lawfully in those moments before the emergency, right?
Yeah, that's the key.
Interesting.
And they also pointed out that people are always free to, you know, not let the police in.
Right.
It's their choice whether to open the door or even talk to the officers at all.
There's a line in that opinion that really stuck with me. It says, occupants who choose not to stand on their constitutional rights, but instead, you know, try to destroy evidence, well, they only have themselves to blame for that warrantless search that happens afterwards.
Yeah, it's a strong statement, right? Just how the court thinks about it. They believe the police shouldn't be tied down by the criminal actions of the people they're looking into.
So the Supreme Court reversed the Kentucky Supreme Court's decision, sent it back to the lower courts. But it was close. A 5-4 decision. And there was a pretty powerful dissent from Justice Ginsburg.
Oh, absolutely. She had some major concerns about this ruling and what it might mean for the Fourth Amendment in the future.
So we left off with the Supreme Court siding with the police, 5-4. But Justice Ginsburg, she wasn't happy about it. What were her concerns with the ruling?
Well, she was worried that it would basically give police a free pass to skip the warrant, you know, especially when it comes to drugs. Like, it could set a bad example.
I see why that would be a worry. It almost feels like it encourages police to knock first and then ask questions later, right? Knowing that any suspicious sounds from inside could be their excuse to go in without a warrant.
Exactly. She felt that letting police create these emergencies just by what they do, it like weakens the whole point of needing a warrant in the first place. It chips away at those Fourth Amendment protections that are supposed to protect our privacy and, you know, keep us from unreasonable searches.
So she's saying the police should have gotten a warrant before even knocking.
Right. Yeah. Her dissent really stresses how important it is to protect our homes under the Fourth Amendment. It's not even just about drugs. It's, you know, the idea that our homes are our safe spaces and they shouldn't be subject to, like, the government coming in without a good reason and the proper process.
Did the majority opinion address those concerns about, like, weakening those Fourth Amendment protections at all?
They did, but they said those concerns were kind of overblown. Remember, they were focused on that idea of objective reasonableness, right? They thought that as long as the police aren't actually breaking the Fourth Amendment with their first actions, then any emergency caused by how people inside react, well, that's fair game.
So it's like two different ways of seeing what's reasonable for the police to do and where that line is. For Justice Ginsburg, it wasn't just about like the legal details. It was about, you know, how this actually affects people's lives and whether they feel safe in their own homes.
Yeah. And she had this really powerful quote in her dissent. She said, "How secure do our homes remain if police, without a warrant, can just bang on doors whenever they want? And then if they hear something that sounds like, you know, things moving around, they can just force their way in and search for anything illegal."
That's a scary thought. Really makes you think about keeping people safe versus individual freedom. If the police can create the very situation that lets them search without a warrant, I mean, what happens to our right to privacy?
Right. That's the big question. In this case, even though it's about knocking and announcing, it has effects way beyond just drug cases, you know? It raises those basic questions about how much power the police have, the role of the courts, and how relevant the Fourth Amendment even is with all the, you know, surveillance and aggressive police tactics we see these days.
It's a lot to think about, and people are still debating and analyzing this case today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's a landmark decision, no doubt about it. And while it might seem like the majority opinion gives the police more freedom in situations like this, it's important to remember that it also really highlights how crucial it is for those initial actions to be legal.
So what does this all mean for our listeners out there? What are the big takeaways from Kentucky v. King?
Well, I think the biggest one is it shows us that there's always this tension between what law enforcement wants to do and individual rights. The Fourth Amendment protects us from unreasonable searches and seizures, but there are exceptions. And this case shows just how complicated and tricky those exceptions can be.
It seems like this ruling gives the police a lot of power to decide when those exceptions apply.
Right.
It puts a lot of weight on an officer's judgment, you know, in the heat of the moment.
True. And it also underscores how important it is to know your rights and to stand up for them. You have the right to stay silent, the right to refuse to let police into your home without a warrant, and the right to talk to a lawyer if you think your rights have been violated.
Knowing your rights gives you power. Understanding these legal things can help you handle these situations better if you ever find yourself in one.
Absolutely. This case is a reminder that what the law says is always changing. What might be okay for police to do today could be challenged and seen differently tomorrow. Staying informed and involved and being careful about your rights, that's really important.
Well put. But before we finish up, I have one last question for our listeners, something to think about. Could this whole situation have been avoided? Could the police have done things differently and gotten a better result? So could they have avoided this whole thing? If the police had just, you know, gone about it differently, could they have reached their goal without, like, starting this legal debate?
It's a good question to think about. This case really shows that tightrope walk law enforcement has to do, you know.
Yeah.
They got to investigate crime, gather evidence, but they have to do it within the law, respecting those individual rights that our society is built on.
Right. In this case, the officers, they were in a tough spot. They had the suspect running from a drug buy. That strong smell of marijuana and,
yeah,
you know, the chance that evidence was going to be destroyed. It makes sense that they felt like they had to act fast.
Yeah, I get that. But like we talked about, the Kentucky Supreme Court thought they acted a little too fast.
Right.
They felt the police had enough to get a warrant before knocking. If they had done that, the search would have been totally solid. And this whole argument about the police creating the emergency, it might never have come up.
So maybe being more careful, like getting a warrant the priority whenever they can, could have led to a less, you know, controversial outcome. But of course, it's easy to look back and say what they should have done.
Oh, for sure. It's important to remember that cops often got to make decisions in a split second in situations that can change really fast. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't look at those decisions, especially when they involve those basic constitutional rights.
Yeah. This case shows us that those rights, especially the Fourth Amendment protection against unreasonable searches and seizures, they aren't like set in stone.
Yeah.
There are exceptions, and the courts are always trying to figure out where to draw the lines.
And it's a conversation we all need to be a part of. Figuring out that balance between safety and liberty, it's a delicate thing, and it needs constant discussion and, you know, a commitment to upholding the principles that make a society fair and just.
Well said. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Kentucky v. King, we'll leave you with this. The law is complicated. It's always changing, built on precedent, how it's interpreted, and society's values. This case, with all its different opinions and, you know, the impact it's had, it's just one small part of that huge picture. But it's a part worth looking at closely because it reflects those basic tensions at the heart of our justice system.
Yeah. And it reminds us that we all have a part to play in shaping that system, making sure it's a force for good, protecting innocent people while holding the guilty accountable, always trying to find that balance between order and freedom.
Couldn't have done it better myself. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay engaged.